It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Experience an indescribable encounter with God through the word preached by Reverend Dr. Peter Saki, a medical doctor by profession, called by God as an end-time apostle and prophet. He has been given the mandate to set captives free and deliver the oppressed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, God's Word by Reverend Dr. Saki.
Big shout of praise. Glory be to Jesus. Are you ready for God's Word? If you are ready, lift up your right hand, let us pray. Holy Father, we are ready for your word. We ask that you open our hearts, grant us understanding. We receive grace to be doers of your word, that we shall be fruitful in every good work, that you will have all the glory, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have overcomers in the house? How many of you are overcomers? If you are an overcomer, give the Lord a big overcoming shout. A shout of praise. A shout of hallelujah. Clap your hands, all ye people. And shout to the Lord. With a voice of victory. With a voice of victory. Hallelujah. Hey, hey. Amen. Hey, hey, hey. Praise hey. God. We are going to continue on the overcomer's life. Praise God. He said, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Beloved, God declares the end from the beginning. So you are an overcomer before the challenge comes. Before a challenge comes, you are already an overcomer. Before a temptation comes, you are already an overcomer. Come on, before you go through the fire, you are already an overcomer. Before you go through the waters, you are already an overcomer. Listen, before the challenge comes, before the battle comes, you are already an overcomer. You go into the exams room knowing that you already have distinction. Come on, are you here with me? As a child of God, before the challenge comes, you are already an overcomer. The talent will not destroy you. The fire will not burn you. The water will not drown you. Before the talent comes, Satan, I don't know what you are bringing next my way, but all I know is that I am an overcomer. When you bring it my way, I'm going to come out victorious. So before the talent comes, you are already an overcomer. Are you here with me? Before the talent comes, you are already an overcomer. You are an overcomer by calling. You are an overcomer by birth. You are born again to rule. You are born again to win. You are an overcomer. Listen, no matter the battles you fight in life, before the battle comes, you are already an overcomer. Whatever the enemy is planning for your life, for your family, for your children, no matter what, you don't even need to know what the enemy is planning. All you need to know is that when it comes, I am an overcomer. Are you here with me? So you are an overcomer by birth, by status. You are seated with Christ. You are an overcomer. And so you must know the overcomer's life. How to live the overcomer's life. Because you are an overcomer. You are born to win. You are born to rule. You are born to win. You are born to conquer. You are born to possess. You are born to pursue. You are born to come out victorious. You are an overcomer by birth. And before a challenge comes, you are already an overcomer. And we said the overcomer must learn to pursue. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, the Bible says, and David got to a point where he had given up. David got to a point where he was discouraged. David got to a point where all his men thought of stoning him. There are times in life things will happen which you never planned for. And they are meant to destroy you. They are meant to make you look foolish. They are meant to make you give up. They are meant to make you discouraged. But listen carefully. Whatever is meant to destroy you, whatever is meant to make you give up, it is going to make you stronger. It is going to make you wiser. It is going to make you more anointed. They thought they were stopping you. They didn't know they were making you stronger. They thought they were causing you to give up. They didn't know that they were making you more determined. Whatever is meant to make you give up is going to make you stronger and stronger and stronger. Whatever is meant to push you down and keep you down, where they thought they were covering you, they meant to cover you. They meant to put you in obscurity. But listen carefully, in the process of covering you, in the process of hiding you, they never knew. They were rather making you more and more popular. I see someone rising to another level. I see your season of lifting has come. Your season of privilegiation has come. Your season of possession has come. Your season of promotion has come. Promotion does not come from the east. God is the one who promotes. Every overcomer must learn to live the overcomer's life. You must learn to pursue. Tell someone you must learn to pursue. Tell another person you must learn to pursue. What must we pursue? Number one, we must pursue God. We must pursue God. Don't pursue silver and gold. Don't pursue the money. Don't pursue fame. Don't pursue title. Don't pursue the blessing. Pursue the blesser, and the blessing will come. Number two, we must learn to pursue our God-given vision. Visions are the targets of our lives. It is vision that gives meaning to life. It is vision that gives glory to life. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And so we must learn to pursue God's vision amidst the challenges. The devil wants you to give up on God's vision. Recently, my child was playing and she was holding on to something. And I wanted to collect it from her. So all I did was to give her something else. As soon as I gave her something else, she gave the thing I wanted easily into my hands. Listen carefully. The devil will not show up trying to take what you have from your hands. The devil will only give you something else. When he gives you something else, you forfeit what God has given to you. The devil is offering things to people. He's offering easy things to people. He's offering cheap things to people. In the process of offering it to you, he takes away what God has placed in your hands. The devil wants you to give up on your vision. When you pursue your vision, a whole generation will be preserved. When you pursue your vision, your family will be preserved. When you pursue your vision, so many lives, destinies will be preserved. So the devil is always working hard to make sure that you give up on your vision. And to give up on your vision, the devil is giving you a replacement for your vision. Some of you, the devil is giving you a strange woman. The strange woman you have in your life, the strange lady you have in your life, is the replacement for your vision. Some of you, the devil is giving you some job. The job you are pursuing, it is the replacement the enemy is giving to you to take away the vision of God. In fact, some people, even the kind of job you are doing, it is to take away your vision. Sometimes you find yourself in a good job. Sometimes you find yourself in a so-called white-collar job. It comes with respect and prestige. And God has a vision for you. God has a ministry for you. God has a calling for you. Yet you are pursuing something else. Not something else. It's what the devil gives to you in order for you to forfeit your God-given vision and your God-given assignment. Every overcomer, listen, when we pursue the vision of God, it comes with preservation. When we pursue the vision of God, it comes with provision. When we pursue the vision of God, it comes with solution. Every instruction of God has solution within it. Number three, every overcomer must learn to pursue people of common destiny. Listen, where there is no vision, the people perish. But where there are no people, the vision will perish. Listen, God will bless us through human beings. Everything God does, he does it through human beings. When God wants to bless you, he will put a godly person into your life. When Satan wants to destroy you, he will also put an evil person into your life. Listen, all the blessings of God, they are hidden in mankind. The Bible says, for we have this treasure in an earthly vessel. God places his blessing in people. Your introduction will come because of somebody's recommendation. The Bible says, and Joseph was in a prison. He met a cupbearer and he met the baker. And when he met them, he interpreted a dream for them. Then he told the cupbearer, when you get to Pharaoh's house, remember me. In other words, when the time of God comes, when the time God is about to promote you comes, God will use human beings to promote you. God will use human beings to bless you. God might have called you. He will use human beings to showcase you. All the blessings of God, they are in human beings. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You must learn to pursue people of common destiny. You must learn to pursue godly people that God has placed into your life. Sometimes the enemy will try to separate you from godly people. Sometimes the enemy will try to push you away from the people whom God has planned to be a blessing for your life. But you must tell yourself, I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to be proud. I'm going to pursue the men and the women God has placed into my life to be a blessing to me. Listen, all the blessings of God, they are found in human beings. They are found among human beings. Human beings can be a blessing. When God wants to bless you, he gives you human beings. When Satan wants to destroy you, he also gives you human beings. Human beings are treasure deposits. Human beings are a field of promotion. It is God who promotes, but he will use human beings. It is God who blesses, but he will use human beings. When the time of promotion came for Joseph, it was the cupbearer who remembered Joseph and recommended Joseph before Pharaoh. When the time of promotion comes, God is going to use somebody. God is going to use a man. The Bible says David was anointed king, but the people came and they made him king. God has a great ministry for us. God has a great plan for us. God has a great mission for us. But God is going to use people whose destinies are tied to our own to be a blessing to us. There are so many visions God has shown to us. He doesn't tell us how the visions are going to be fulfilled. Some of you are not going to stay in Ghana for the rest of your life. Some of you are not going to remain where you are for the rest of your life. Some of you, the money you need to start your business, God is bringing that money into your life. And God is going to use someone to do it for you. Some of you, the next level you ought to move to, there is someone who will not sleep until you are promoted. There is someone who will not have peace until they recommend you. And God is going to cause the person to be restless. God is going to cause the person to suddenly remember you. There are some of you, your blessing and your miracle, when the season comes, God will use a man. The Bible says there is only one God and one mediator, and it is the man Christ Jesus. Angels cannot die for mankind. The Holy Spirit will not die and save mankind. The Holy Spirit is moving, angels are working, but it takes men to preach to men. He said, how can they hear if they do not believe? How can they believe if no one goes? So then, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All the workings of God requires human vessels. And we must know and identify the human vessels God has placed into our lives who would help us to fulfill the destiny God has for us. And we must learn to pursue them. Sometimes the enemy will poison you about someone God has given to you to be a blessing to you. The enemy will try to separate you. The enemy will try to bring confusion. But you must see and pursue. Pursue godly people. Are you here with me? Pursue godly people. God will use men to bless you. I'm telling you. He will use men to bless you. When it got to the turn of Isaac to be blessed, the Bible says Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. When it got to the turn of Jacob to be blessed, Isaac spoke words unto Jacob. Is it that God cannot bless directly? Is it that God cannot anoint directly? God will always use human vessels. You need to identify them. Number one, you need to identify those who are going to be like mental figures in your life. Mental figures. In 2 Kings chapter 2, we heard about the story of Elijah and Elisha. Many times, Elijah tried to tell Elisha, go away from me, on three occasions. But Elisha said, as long as the Lord God liveth, I'm not going to leave you. You know, some of you, you always look out for material things. When you get close to a person, you are looking for material things to be of benefit to you. When you get closer to someone, you don't look beyond material things. You don't look beyond the present suffering of the person. You must learn to have your eyes open. You must see beyond material things. You must see beyond what everybody is chasing. When God brings you into contact with a mental figure, he may not be perfect. He may have questionable character. But that is the man God has chosen to be a blessing to you. You must learn to see. Elijah told Elisha, I want you to leave me and go. I am going to Jericho. The next time he said, I'm going to Bethel. The next time he said, I'm going to Jordan. Elisha said, as long as the Lord God liveth, I am not going to leave you. There was a man called Lot. And there was a man called Abraham. Abraham had a covenant with God. Lot never had any covenant with God. But just by association, the blessings of God also influenced and affected Lot. Because Abraham was a mentor to Lot. As long as Lot had Abraham as a mentor figure in his life, the Bible says God prospered Abraham and God also prospered Lot. But when there was contention between the headsmen of Lot and the headsmen of Abraham, Lot should have said, "You are my father. You brought me here. You are my one I'm looking up to." But Lot listened to his wife, and Lot agreed with his headsmen. As a result, he left Abraham. And that was where all his troubles began. He went to the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then the Bible said he was fought, and Abraham had to go and rescue him with his 318 in-house trained soldiers. We must learn to identify mentor figures in our lives. Ruth and Naomi. Last week I was telling about Ruth and Naomi. Naomi went to a certain place to look for greener pastures. She went with her husband and two sons. And the two sons got married in that foreign land. And the Bible makes us understand the husband died and the two sons also died. And Naomi was going back to her country. And then the Bible says the two daughters-in-law decided to follow her. And then Naomi said, "Listen carefully, I'm not going to marry again and have children for you to have some to marry. So go back to your country. You will find men who are already made." Say, "Already made." Say, "Already made." Say, "Someone is looking for already made. Someone is looking for a man who has a house. He's looking for a man who has cars. He's looking for a man who has businesses." And so your prayer is already made. Someone says, "I don't want to marry Debbie Ebeyeye." In other words, I don't want to marry someone who says, one day, it will get better. I want Abinwaha. Abinwaha means already made. Come on, I see God bringing you to a realm where it's not going to be already made, where it's not going to be Abinwaha, but it's going to be by supernatural workings of his hands. Our choices are influenced by Abinwaha. At the time Naomi had lost the husband, at the time Naomi had lost two sons, and the daughters-in-law said, "We will follow." And Naomi, like Elijah, said, "You will not come with me. Go back to your country. You will find some matured men and marry them." Already made. Already made. Some of you ladies, when you see men who are struggling, your mother has told you, "Adjoa Mansa, as you are going to school, make sure you bring home a man. And when you are bringing home a man, make sure you get connected to a man whose father has money. A man who has a car on campus. A man who is already doing well. Don't bring any straggler your way. When I married your father, we struggled. I don't want you to go through the same path." Are you here with me? The men should be hardworking. But woman, when you see a man with a vision, your eyes should be open. Don't look for a man who has plenty cars. Don't look for a man who has the money already. Look for a man who already is having a vision. Because once you have a vision, all things are possible unto the one who knows God and has a vision. Look for a man who is going somewhere. Look for a man who is going. Don't look for a man who has a television. Look for a man who has a vision. Because if you look for a man who has a television, listen. Someone once said, young ladies, when you are looking for a husband, don't look for a man who has a television. Look for a man who has a vision. Because if you look for a man who has a television, you will watch the man who has a vision on your television. You listen. It's not going to be this, like this all the time. But you need spiritual eyes. You need spiritual eyes. And then eventually, upper left. But Ruth said, "I'm not going to leave you. Your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. Where you lie is where I lie." You know, sometimes make observation of people who leave you when you are going through challenges. They are not worth you. Are you here with me? People who leave you when you are going through troubles. People who stick with you when things are going down, when things are scattering, when there seems to be no hope, when there seems to be no future, they are the people you must treasure. They are the people you must keep around you. You must not keep around you people who are always around you. When you become great, when you become rich, you have many friends. When you become rich, everybody wants to be your friend. Everybody wants to call you my son. In the ministry, when you are struggling, you don't have a father. But in the ministry, when you begin to do well, suddenly men of God who have never seen you before, when they meet you for the first time, they say, son, are you here with me, somebody? When you are struggling, you are not a son. But when you start succeeding, you suddenly become a son. You suddenly become a daughter. Come on, are you here with me? When you were struggling, no one said you were my brother. No one said you were my sister. But suddenly, when you start doing well, they start calling you bro. They start calling you sister. They start calling you my buddy, buddy. Come on, are you here with me? Every fool can stick to you when you are doing well. But it takes men who have vision. It takes men who have vision to stick with you in difficult times. As a church, sometimes the church goes through struggles. And then you see people who leave the church. Say, pastor has lost it. The pastor is no more in touch with God. The river is no more hot here. We are going somewhere where the river is hotter than it is here. And then they leave the church. This is a global ministry. With champions are being raised. Some of you, today you have some significance and importance. If you don't keep your position, when you come to see the choir director, you will have to book an appointment. Today, listen, today, they say we want to see Reverend. You just get to the office and they say, oh, Reverend is there, go and see him. Are you here with me? You can easily come talk with Reverend, see him at any time, call his phone. If you don't protect your position and do well, a time is coming when you are coming to see Reverend, by then Michael would have been a bishop. Are you here with me? Pursue the vision. Pursue people who have, listen, your mentors. Mentorship is a shortcut to success. Something somebody has learned for years, 25 years, by the grace of God, I've been working with God this year, 26 years. Something I've learned, experiences, my failures, my challenges, my tears, my scars, I've put everything together and give it to you. So that where I failed, you will not fail there. Are you here with me? Where I lost the battle and I was unwise, you will not be unwise there. That is called mentorship. Mentorship is a shortcut to success. When God gives you a mentor, you must know the mentor you pursue. The mentor at the time may not be already made, but you must learn to pursue. Pursue people whose destinies are connected to yours. It's not everybody you must pursue. Don't pursue people who make you feel bad. Don't pursue people who make you feel useless. Don't pursue people who make you feel that you are nobody. Pursue people who would learn to raise you up. Pursue people who would accept you the way you are and be ready to help you become what God intends for you to become. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Praise God. When you have a car, people who have cars want to befriend you. So as you are prospering, you are going to attract people from every walk of life. Some will come with different mindset, different intention. But you must know those who stuck with you. You must remember where God took you from. You must remember those who helped you when you were nobody. You must stick with them. You must cherish them. Pursue. There was nothing attractive about Naomi. But Ruth said, your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. Where they bury you is where I'll be buried. And Ruth became a rich woman. Because she saw what the ordinary eye could not see. In 1 Samuel chapter 20 verse 16, the Bible talks about a man called David and Jonathan. Jonathan was the rightful heir to the throne of Israel, the son of Saul. And Jonathan saw something in David. At the time, David was an armor bearer. At the time, David was not a prince. But Jonathan saw something in David. That was why Jonathan entered into a covenant with David. He saw something in David. He was born as a prince, but he saw something in David. Listen, there are some people, when you befriend them, and tomorrow you are nowhere, they won't take care of your family. They won't take care of your children for you. But Jonathan knew that David was a special person. Jonathan knew that David was a good man, a godly man, a man with a special heart, a man who respected and feared God. As a result, when he was even an armor bearer, and Jonathan being the prince, he pursued a relationship and he entered into a covenant with David. One day when you are not there, who will take care of your family for you? Oh, I'll always be there. I'm not saying you are dying. Maybe you've gone to US, you've gone to UK, you've gone to Germany, you've gone to Australia. You won't die before your time. But one day when you have to go somewhere geographically, who will take care of your family for you? Who can you say, take care of my family for me? Jesus had John, the beloved. He said, behold your mother. In other words, I'm going to be with my father, my Lord. Take care of your mother. Behold your mother. My mother is not your mother because we have a covenant relationship. Your brother is my brother because we have a covenant relationship. Your battles are my battle because we have a covenant relationship. You pursue superficial relationship. You don't pursue covenant relationship. Jonathan said he loved David so much. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. At the time he was a prince, David was a squatter. He was a prince. Every overcomer must pursue destiny relationships, covenant relationships, relationships of common destiny. He saw something which the ordinary eye could not see. At the time, it was advantageous. He had the advantage. David was a commoner. He was an armor bearer. They were looking for him to kill him. Sometimes some people will be looking for someone to kill. Some people will be looking for someone to fight. And who are the people who will stand with him? He got to the point where he said, I know one day you shall be king and I will be your assistant. What a friend. He was ready to relinquish and forfeit his throne because of the covenant relationship he had with David. Praise God. Amen and amen. Pursue. 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 Now, let me show you something. Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10, verse. Numbers chapter 10. Relationships are in three levels. Those who have gone ahead of you, those who are your friends and colleagues, and those who are below you. And there are, you have to pursue. Even when it comes to discipleship, don't give up on people because today they don't appear to be anything. Sometimes we preach and make it look like it's always the mentee who has to pursue the mentor, but it's not always so. Jesus prayed and he chose disciples. We must also identify people. When the Lord blesses us, when the Lord lifts us up, we must identify people who we can also contribute something significantly into their lives. When you are lifted, when you are promoted, you must also give back to society. You must send somebody to school. You must send somebody to pay somebody's hospital bills. You must help somebody live a better life. You must give to somebody. Listen, Numbers chapter 10, verse 32. Let's read from verse 30. Now, this is about Moses. Moses. Sometimes I look at men of God who feel they don't need anybody. I look at people whom God has lifted and they say they have no need for anybody. These instrumentalists, they are not indisposable, but I need them to play for me to minister. Are you here with me? I need you to play for me so that the anointing, the hand of the Lord will come into the house for me to preach, to prophesy, to minister the gifts of the Spirit. I need an atmosphere. Sometimes when God lifts some people up, they feel they don't need anybody at all. They don't need anybody. There are certain places God is going to send you. You can't go there yourself. You need some small boy who will go there for you. You need some nobody who will go there for you. God anointed David king. They came to make him king. There are some of the things God will bring people. Some who are despised, discontent, some who are in debt, and they are going to go there. Moses had an encounter with God. He went and confronted Pharaoh. The Bible said, through faith, they subdued kingdoms, Moses went to Egypt and subdued the kingdom of Egypt. Moses had an encounter with God. Moses could hear God speak to him face to face. Moses had tasted of the power of God. But Moses went to somebody and he said, I want you to help me. One day I shall be great and I'll do good to you. I can come to you and I say, I want you to stick with me. I want you to stick with me. One day, God has said great things about me. God has said great things about the ministry. I can go to someone and I say, listen, you have the money. I want you to support our ministry. God has said great things about the ministry. Maybe the money you have today, I may not have, but there is a place God is sending us. And there's a place God is sending us. And one day when God takes us there, we shall remember you. Come on, Moses, having tasted of the power of God, having gone to subdue Egypt, having gone to humble and made foolish Pharaoh and his wisdom, he got to a point where he went to somebody. He said unto him, come on, let's read verse 29. Verse 29. You must learn to humble yourself. Sometimes when God gives you an assignment, you need the help and the support of other people. Some of them may be higher, some of them may be at your same level, some of them may be younger. You must humble yourself and go to them. I want you to help me. Listen, if you get to the point, say, I don't need anybody. Listen, you need God, number one. But God would always make you need the help of some people in your life. And if the people are proud, God will change them and bring you another person. When God calls people to help you, when they refuse to help you, it doesn't mean God will not do what he has planned to do with your life. God will look for someone else to come and do. And the blessing and the reward will go to that new person. When God calls you into the ministry and you don't respond, you don't listen to him, it doesn't mean what God wants to be done will not get done. God will look for someone who will come and do that assignment. And when God brings you someone and the person is supposed to help you and the person does not help you and the person withhold help from you, God will bring another to come and help you. I'm telling you, it's a privilege to be of a help to someone. It's a privilege to be a blessing to someone. It's a privilege to join forces with God to do his work on this earth. Look at this passage. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give to you. Come with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Moses went to someone and asked the person, come and help me. The Lord has said good things about us. Come and help me. Come and help me. You've set up a hospital. You need somebody to come and help you. Go and get the help. You've set up a business. You need someone to help you. Go and get the help. You may have the money, but you may lack the expertise. You may have the money, but you may lack the knowledge, the technocrat wisdom that goes with that profession. It may be what kind of business. You need someone who is more knowledgeable than you. You need someone who is more skillful than you are. I can't play the keyboard. I can't sing like some of you sang this morning. I can't do some of the things that some of you are doing. I need someone to help me to become what God has said I will be. And I need to humble myself and identify those people and go to them and ask for help. He said, and Moses said unto him, we are journeying unto a place which the Lord said, I will give to you. Come down with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. I'm carrying prophecies. I'm loaded with promises. I'm loaded with the giftings. God says he will do great things with my life. Come and help me. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. And he said, do not leave us, I pray thee, for as much as you know, we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. In other words, you will be an eye to us, and it shall be that if you will go with us, yes, so shall it be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same we will do unto thee. The guy was very used to moving in the wilderness. He knew the way around the wilderness. And God was leading them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Yet they needed someone to show them the wilderness. He could hear from God face to face. Yet he needed someone to help them to camp in the wilderness. Can you see that? He said, please, don't leave us. Please, don't leave us. Don't be impatient. God will do great things with our lives. God will promote us. God will bless us. God will favor us. God will give us openings all over the world. God will give us a breakthrough. Don't look at our present suffering. Don't look at our present struggles. Don't look at the amount of money we have and the amount we do not have. Don't look at our disorganization. Don't despise us. God has given us a word. God has given us a promise. God has given us a promise. He's taking us somewhere. He's lifting us. He's giving us the nations. He's giving us the top position. Do not leave us. Come with us. And whatever good thing the Lord does, we will do the same for you. Pursue. 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 Pursue godly relationships. Pursue godly relationships. You can't do it alone. You can't stand alone. You can't fight alone. You can't win alone. Pursue godly relationships. Those higher, those at the same level, and those below you. God bless you. Let's bow our heads down in prayer. The greatest relationship is a relationship with God. This morning, as every eye closed, every head bowed, you are here, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Jesus, relationship with Jesus is the greatest relationship. It's the greatest relationship. Relationship with Jesus is the greatest relationship. This morning, as every eye closed and every head bowed, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. As every eye closed and every head bowed, wherever you are standing, wherever you are seated, I want to pray with you. As every eye closed and every head bowed, say, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I want to pray with you. Just lift up your right hand wherever you are seated, and I'm going to pray with you. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. The greatest, the most important relationship is to have a relationship with Jesus. As every eye closed, every head bowed, I'm going to pray with you. I will ever love and trust thee His presence daily. Thank you for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation that has come. We walk in them and we rejoice for the success, for the victories in Jesus' name.